Okay. So I'm here with Rylan Harper. He was one of my fraternity brothers at Sigma Chi at San Jose State. And he is a incredibly talented graphic design artist and just artist in general. And he's a very passionate person, very positive, and has inspired a lot of the people that I know, a lot of the people in our fraternity. He really helped motivate them, and myself included. And you were just telling me about how you are taking a year off from school because you're going through Lyme disease right now, right?
Yeah.
If you could tell it to me in a way that you would never, like, if people listen to this, they would never have to ask you again about, like, or, like, at least right now, they, like, you would never have to be asked again about what it's like. Like, I just want you to tell me.
Oh, gosh. So I'm taking a year off school just to focus on, you know, getting better from Lyme disease. It's kind of one of those diseases where, I'd say it's like one of those diseases where you kind of hear about it, but you don't really know what it entails. And it's definitely one of those diseases that, you know, it's so like not a common subject. And so, you know, not a lot of people really talk about it.
I don't even know anything about it.
Yeah.
And I read your post, but it's like, it already faded.
So Lyme disease is pretty much an internal disease. It's a disease that is bloodborne, and it's a bacterial disease. And what it does is actually destroys your internal nervous system. So basically, you know, I always tell people it's really hard to describe what Lyme disease is because it's different for every single person, because it's based on how their immune system is before they get it. It's based off of, you know, their eating habits or just their age in general. It could be actually not even that bad for, you know, very young people. And then once they get older, it just hits them. Mm-hmm. And, in my specific case, Lyme disease for me is almost like, imagine having like the worst flu you've ever, you know, you've ever gone through. But then imagine not having the fever and not having the sore throat, but that just that feeling of your body just being unbelievably weak, and like those consistent aches, and just, you know, when you have the flu, you don't want to get up and you don't want to do things, mm-hmm. because you feel internally so just destroyed.
It's just a state of fatigue.
Exactly. Yeah. Fatigue. It's a really terrible state of fatigue. And that's kind of a really close resemblance to like what Lyme disease is every single day. And, you know, in my case, Lyme disease also comes with a bunch of like co-infections and everything like that. Lyme is a very general like term for a bacteria, which has over, you know, 250 families. It's those types of bacteria that live inside you, and that's why it's so different for everybody, because, you know, you can have Lyme with a co-infection of like Bartonella, or you can have Lyme with a co-infection of, you know, EBV, or you can have a co-infection of Babesia, and it's all just these different families of essentially like the Lyme bacteria that lives inside you. So in my specific case, I have Lyme disease with a co-infection of Babesia, which is a, it's primarily neurological. So, you know, that's kind of like what I'm going through right now.
Neurological in what way?
Neurological in kind of the way where, it's mainly just, it's like severe brain fog, and it's severe, actually I used to have like tremors, and I used to have like mini seizures and stuff like that, just cause it would like,
at the beginning of this?
Yes. Yes. I like probably like as of like, you know, a month ago, and, not started a month ago, but kind of like the end of the month ago. And, you know, I just kind of have like, and when you think of a seizure, you know, you think of like someone falling down and convulsing and everything that. But seizures can actually be, you know, in acute form. Seizures can actually be like, you know, they can last like 10, you know, 5 or 10 minutes and just be like very acute, where it's just like extreme confusion, not really know what's going on, kind of like losing a little bit of control of your body and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've come significant ways, and the reason I'm like taking off a year is just to like focus on my health. You know, and just trying to get better. So that's what I've been doing, and I've come such a long way, and I honestly think that I'll definitely be good by probably December or January.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
When were you first diagnosed with it, or how did you realize that you had it?
I had a really active, I guess, start to my summer. It was really interesting. I went to like tons of music concerts and, you know, just with friends, and I went backpacking a whole lot and stuff like that. And, you can get Lyme really easily if you get bit by either like a tick or a spider or a mosquito. And so, you know, I just woke up one day after I got back from like this huge long, like, I guess like month long adventure, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I woke up one day and I was just super dizzy. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, I've never in my life been dizzy before. And I just kind of, like, blew it off. And I was, like, went through the day, blah, blah. And then, kind of, like, got more annoying. And then I started to realize that I was having, like, a little bit of, like, Bell palsy going on. Like, half my face was kind of, like, sagging down. And I thought I was having a stroke.
Wow,
like,
yeah.
You know, because it was, like, dizziness. Yeah. And, like, half my face was sagging. And I was,
you had
like...
a little bit of panic in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, man, I'm having a stroke. So, like, that... Then I, like, literally called the doctor that day. And I was, like, you know, called the school doctor at San Jose State. Because, mm-hmm. you know, my home doctor would take, like, a week to get into. San Jose State is just, like, boom. You're, like, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits of, like, paying tuition.
I miss having that ability to just go into the doctor whenever I wanted yeah. to. Yeah,
it's convenient. And I just, like, called him that day, and I was like, hey, I think I'm having a stroke. Like, what's going on? And I went in there, and then, of course, you know, I wasn't. You know, by the time I got in there, my face was back to normal and everything like that. And they, you know, did all their tests and stuff. And then that was the beginning of it. And I didn't know, but my health would soon deteriorate in every single sense of the word. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it was just like, I always say, like, the first day I was, you know, dizzy. The first week, you know, you start to feel just severe pain, and I'm talking about, like, all over your body, like, you know, those aches that I was talking about with the flu, but imagine, like, the worst flu you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into, like, severe joint pain, like, to the point where it's like you can't even walk some days just because your joints are just so inflamed and swelled up.
Wow.
And then kind of like the more advanced, like, neurological issues hit, kind of like seizures and severe brain pressure, brain fog, and you just kind of like
brain fog, as in you couldn't really formulate your thoughts as
yes,
well as you
exactly.
were able to.
Exactly. And it's just kind of like this again this disease that, like, slowly and slowly just continually destroys your body,
mm-hmm.
in every sense of the way. And it's just like, it's terrible. You know, it's one of those diseases that it's like, you know, you didn't eat the wrong way. You weren't born with a certain, you know, genetic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, I what I did is I just slept under the stars, you know, and I woke up the next day and I had it.
Mm-hmm. You got bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I never ever would have thought, like, something even close would have happened to me like that, you mm-hmm. know. And
like, you don't expect, like, when you hear about these sort of things, you don't expect them to happen to you. Like, when I hear about Lyme disease, like, you having Lyme disease, I'm like, wow, that sounds like a rough thing that he's going through, but I'll never have to go through that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's that,
yeah.
It's that thought of like that'll never happen to me. And so when you did realize that it happened to you and that you wanted to get better, like, what changes did you need to make in your life?
Well, I would say, like, you know, the thing about Lyme disease is you get a lot worse before you get better. And,
is it always like that?
It's always like that for everybody. And
is it fatal ever?
You know, it has been fatal, but I mean, it's very rare. Mm-hmm. Very rare for it to be,
especially
fatal.
Especially for someone as, like, healthy as you.
Yeah, but you know, it's taken a lot of, like, learning about just, like, life and just, you know, how important certain things are. And I, you know, Lyme is such a, it's such a foreign concept that, you know, you tell people what's going on and, like, they can't fathomably understand. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no conception of, like, what it's even you know, like, unless they have the disease. And, you know, a lot of people say, like, you don't get it until you get it, you know? And in that sense, I was so, like, alone, and I was so just, like, depressed and by myself just because no one understood what was going on, that it was, like, I was just, I went into this, like, deep, 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 dark, like, depression, and I just, like, didn't understand, like, why I had this disease, and I didn't understand, like, why I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do and stuff like that. And for the longest time, I felt like my life and all the goals that I've ever, like, wanted to achieve, even though I had, like, no idea what those goals were, just, like, kind of, like, the conception of, like, achieving certain things in life, like, I don't know, like, graduating from college, or, you know,
becoming a kick-ass designer.
Yeah, becoming a kick-ass designer, yeah. Or, you know, just doing these, like, things that, doing those, like, things that our society tells us that you have to do.
Getting those achievements.
Yeah. I felt like I was not going to be able to do those. And, I
felt like it was taken away from you.
Exactly. And I was like, well, shit. I was like, this is going to be like the rest of my life. And I was like, this is, and then I, you know, it took a long time for me to, like, get the courage of, or I guess, like, just the determination of just kind of telling myself, like, I don't want it to be like this for the rest of my life. And, like, just saying that, it sounds really easy just to say that when you have a disease, like, you know, like, you have a disease and then there could be any disease and you're like, I don't want to have to deal with this, and you just do a bunch of stuff. But when you're so, like, when your nervous system is, like, destroyed and you can't even, like, think properly, and you can't even walk some days, and you can't even, like, you can't even get up to use the restroom, or you can't even get up to, like, make breakfast, you know what I mean? It's like that, just that determination is, like, it's almost not even there most days. And I made a decision to basically say that, no, like, this is not how I want to, you know, this is not how I want to live. This is not how I want to do things, and I don't want to be bedridden for the rest of my life. I don't want to have to, like, deal with this for the rest of my life. And, you know, I made the decision to, you know, to fight it, to just, like, and fight it in every sense of the word. And that was after doing, like, you know, getting all these books on, you know, how to heal Lyme, and, like, all these, like, remedy books and dieting books, and I just read and read and read and read and read and read.
You did a lot of research.
I did a lot of research and just, like, read, like, books on books on books. And you know what's interesting is, like, I realized, like, going through it, I realized just the value of actually reading, like, not fiction books, but just books about, like
different
just different facts about, like, whether it's science or space, there's, like, books, you know what I mean? I feel like a lot of times I was so, like, consistent on just reading articles, and those are just articles, you know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, they tell you a brief summary of information, but then, like, you get a book, and it's just abstract. Exactly. And then you get a book, and it's just this, like, this pure knowledge, and it's just, like, God, like, that's what I was missing. And, you know, you're just reading it, and I just did a ton of research, and so basically I, you know, decided to fight it. And I went on antibiotics for about 2 months, and the antibiotics that they give for Lyme is, like, crazy, crazy high doses of, like, really potent antibiotic. And
so you really feel it.
Yeah, well, you really feel the effect, but the thing is, it internally destroys your body, definitely. And for me, basically, I was... basically, for me, I, you know, was on this antibiotic regimen, and I was actually not doing good on it at all. My doctor put me on it, and, you know, even though I was eating really healthy, even though I was taking, like, probiotics every day and exercising, my body was internally just being destroyed. I started to get, like, you know, stomach bleeding. I started to get, like, inflamed kidneys, and just I actually had a complete loss of appetite, like, complete. And, you know, I was, like, having all these symptoms, and my doctor actually, you know, she took me off them, and she was like, you know, you can have a choice to either go on these other antibiotics that you can be on, like, for a year, or you can just, like, try and combat it, you know, kind of, like, naturally. And I actually made the decision to not do antibiotics for like a whole year. And even, like, and the thing is, that's really interesting about the antibiotics is that actually there's no, like, for Lyme disease, yes, a very small amount of people, like, I'm talking about like a 10% amount of people that have it do get cured from antibiotics, but
respond
the other
to the treatment well.
Yeah, but the other 90% either only mask their symptoms, and when they get off antibiotics, it comes right back, or they don't work at all. And I was in the category of, like, I was on them, they worked, I would say they worked a tiny bit as far as, like, relieving some of my body pain, but then, like, I noticed towards the very end of it, kind of, like, the end of the two-month mark, I was, like, getting way worse, and I just made the decision not to do it, and I decided to, you know, I was buying all these books on kind of, like, herbal protocols, and just, like, you know, healing Lyme, like, naturally and everything like that. I made the decision to just, like, follow these, basically this huge list of just, like, protocols and, like, all these, of all this research that
it's
I've done.
It's mostly in the diet, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's this crazy, crazy diet, basically, and it's all, they're taking these herbs at certain times during the day, and I just did it, and I, like, speaking to you right now, Dylan, I'm probably, I'd probably say I'm, like, 85, close to 90% of all my symptoms, like, completely being
wow,
gone.
Man.
And that's only doing it for, like, 2 months.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, one of the things I was thinking about was, like, right now when you're talking to me, you don't feel that brain fog? Like,
mm-hmm.
you're able to sort of recall these details
yes.
and go through your mind and pick out what you want to say.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. So I have no more, I would say I don't have any more body pain. I don't have any more brain fog. The only part of me that's still infected is like the back right side of my brain, which is right back in here. And you can feel it. And I'd say I sometimes...
What, feel it as in like it's swollen? Like
Yeah. Just right in this area.
Wow.
And... and then I would say, you know, I would say I sometimes get a little, like, dizzy, but it's, like, pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare. So it's going great. I mean, like, I'm, like, really taking charge of my life. And the thing is, you know, I'm taking a year off school to just really fully the protocol I'm on is basically I'm doing the...
Ketogenic? Is that what you're doing?
No. I'm doing the, it's called the Booner Protocol.
The Booner?
Booner.
B-O-N-E-R?
B-U-H-N-E-R. Booner.
B-U-H-N-E-R.
And, protocol, and, I'm doing, and then I have a really strict diet. I'm doing no dairy, no gluten, no sugar, probably indefinitely, actually. So probably for the rest of my life.
Well, you've started to develop that discipline, and that sort of stuff to take out of your diet is already so good and healthy for you that... why not take it for the rest of your life? But are you going to be doing that mostly so that you don't want to ever risk this coming back?
Like exactly. Like... Yeah. The thing is, to be honest, I'm going to continue to do this and that's like, you know, I have like diet, I have protocol, and I'm also doing a ton of other stuff. I stretch for like close to like an hour, either an hour and a half to 2.5 hours a day.
Wow.
Every single day.
Like,
but that's
yoga or?
Yeah, it's primarily doing like, I would say like yoga flow or just some type of gentle yoga or I go to a yoga class. Yoga is amazing for just because like this disease, the reason why you get aches is because it's like a really smart bacteria and it like tightens up your body where it is to not allow your immune system to get at it. And so by doing yoga, you're consistently stretching out your body and you're allowing just your muscles to be more, I guess, flexible and to allow blood to travel through them more and more. So, that's kind of like, you know, a major part of my, you know, diet. And or not my diet, but just the whole, you know, protocol that I'm doing.
The regimen.
Yeah, the regimen. And, you know, going through that, I think, you know, it's like a 6 month thing. And I think that I'm going to be, you know, pretty good with the next couple months, to be honest.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, it's a really, but, you know, I think just like I said before, the reason I'm just taking off school is kind of, you know, you're right. I don't want to risk it like coming back. You know, a lot of times it's like, they say it's funny, you know, a lot of times like people say that, you know, go on these protocols and everything to have Lyme disease. They say like, you know, it gets hard towards the end because, like, you're feeling so much better and you're feeling, like,
yeah.
how you used to feel that you kind of, like, get lazy and you kind of, you know, kind of forget to, like, do certain things and all of a sudden it's,
definitely.
Like, boom, coming back. And so you just want to, like, kill it off as much as possible, so.
It's like someone with, who suffers from depression and takes antidepressants and they start to feel better.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to take these anymore, and they stop taking their antidepressants.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They go through kind of like an episode and, so that's, I mean, that's, I think that's good for you to, like, think about and,
yeah.
and want to keep it up, even if, though you're feeling, like, 85-90% better.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
So, yeah. You were hospitalized at one point, right?
Yes, yes. I had a huge, well, I had a lot of stuff happen to me, but I had, like, a minor, like, vertebrae displacement, but the thing is, like, it was severe because I was at the same time that I was being infected by Lyme disease. So, originally, I didn't get diagnosed until after, like, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, Lyme is actually not really something that's known by doctors. You have to actually, I go to a Lyme specialist, like a doctor who specializes in Lyme disease.
Wow.
Because normal doctors almost have no idea, like, what Lyme is. Like, if I told the doctor my symptoms, like, my symptoms ranged from, you know, like I said, range from, like, having
dizziness
a stroke
and,
to, like,
yeah.
severe body pain or anything like that. That could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
That could be literally, like, anything. And
so were you the one that diagnosed yourself first?
I did. I diagnosed myself after, like, researching online. And that's actually, I'm lucky. Most people that have Lyme disease go through, like, upwards of, like, 10 years without being diagnosed.
Oh, my God.
And it's actually, like, one of the craziest things, so.
Holy shit. Could you imagine living what you went through for 10 years?
I could not, yeah, I could not imagine that, so that's why I'm going on everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You had a determination to figure out what was wrong with you.
Exactly.
To get better.
Exactly, and it kind of, you know, it was, like, kind of random. I was, like, trying to figure out what was wrong with me, and, of course, going on the internet is, like, the worst thing
yeah.
to do.
I think
it's
brain,
like,
cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You think you just have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you just read all these horror stories online. And then, like, you're like, well, I'm going to die. But, like, you know, I went online and I found, like, this random YouTube video. It was, like, you know, it's like, I have Lyme disease. And I clicked on it. And I was, like, and this guy was, like, literally, like, describing the same thing that I was going through. And I'm, like, I think I have this.
Wow.
And I went to my doctor and I got tested for it and my results came back completely negative actually for Lyme disease, on the, like, by the CDC. And, so my results came back completely negative and he's like, no, you don't have it. And then, I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, but I'm just going to give you some antibiotics just to be precautionary, blah, blah. And then, so what I did is I actually went to a specialist, had my blood drawn again, and got it sent to, like, a specialized private lab that's not a part of the CDC, and I came back positive
mm-hmm.
in every way for having Lyme disease. So what's really interesting is that the CDC doesn't actually test, like, the correct, I don't really know what it was, but basically this private lab that I had to go through tests, like, all these different parts of the bacteria, whereas the CDC only looks for, like, certain ones, which can often be missed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, like, probably, like, millions of people that have, you know, rheumatoid arthritis or fibromyalgia that, you know, it just comes on randomly and they have no idea why. Maybe it comes on later on in life, maybe it doesn't. And people, like, don't know why because it's, like, you know, it doesn't run in their family. They have all these aches. They have this severe body pain. Maybe their joints are swelling up and they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to, you know, they get their blood tested and the doctor says they have rheumatoid arthritis, they have fibromyalgia, but it's actually Lyme disease. So, that's kind of like a major thing, which can happen.
Did that piss you off? That, like,
yeah. Oh yeah. It pissed me off just cause, like, that was, like, I could have been diagnosed with this, like, at the very start.
Mm-hmm.
And if you catch it really early and you just go on antibiotics, you can kill it, like, very fast. You know, you can kill it, like, if you catch it within, like, the first couple weeks of, like, Lyme disease and go on, like, antibiotics for, like, a month, like, you're good. You know, you don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but for me, I missed that. I didn't get diagnosed until, like, 5 months down the road, so that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's just, like, going through this journey, it was, like, you know, you're going through a journey of just all this these things and these symptoms, and it's more of like a journey, like into the depths of the self. You know, you're learning about like who you are, what's more important in life, and kind of like how much other people like really matter, I would say. And whereas before I had like no conception of that, just because I've never had to physically deal with like I never, like, if someone explained to me like even something light, like, oh, I broke my arm, or like, you know what I mean, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm like, that sucks, but I've never had to deal with that. Or like, you know, if someone like has a certain types of disease, like I have a, you know, I definitely have met a lot of friends that have, like, I guess a really common ones is like Crohn's disease or just like, you know, something like
or
that.
Depression.
Yeah. Or depression or yeah. Something like that. I'm like, okay, well that sucks. I have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, this hits me and I'm like, I understand. Like, I understand like what
a debilitating disease,
yeah,
feels
exactly.
Like something that really affects you,
exactly,
on a day-to-day basis,
exactly.
And I think that people, it's a life changer. Like, I think it teaches you a lot of disciplines. Like, I struggled with depression for about 2 to 3 years, and I still go through it from time to time.
Yeah.
And it was a huge, it's a huge discipline. It's like a teacher of discipline in certain aspects of your life. Like hearing you talk about this, I think that you've learned a lot of disciplines. Like you've completely changed your diet and put yourself in the mindset of where it was all or nothing. Like, you're going to do this and you're going to make the decision on a day-to-day basis that you're going to beat this thing by completely changing your lifestyle. And not only that, but you're putting in 1.5 to 2.5 hours of stretching a day. That's something that is like, it's unbelievable, man. That's like that you have to really believe in your program and like want to get better and have that desire to get better and that willingness to learn how to get better in order to be able to do it. And a lot of people would give up at that point. And I think that is a testament to your grit and your life. And like, it seems like you've learned a lot from this and you will continue to learn a lot from this, and it's really changed your outlook and perspective on life. So like, I have to ask you, like, do you regret getting this? Like, do you wish you wish it had never happened to you?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. You know, I think the hardest part, you know, I think why I have that like determination is and grit is because you know, getting this disease came completely out of nowhere, and I felt like I missed out on doing a lot of stuff in my I haven't had it that long either. I've only had it now for about like probably seven months, which is like a lot less than most people have it. And like, just within those 7 months, especially being the age I am, you know, I'm like 21, it's like I feel like I missed a lot of things that happened just with your friends and just like, you know, just things on social media. You know, you see your friends go to like the coolest places, and you see what's just going on in other people's lives, and you're like, man, like, if I didn't have this disease, like, I would just be there. I would just, like, go anywhere I wanted to, or, like, you know, I felt like I was just missing out, like, just on everything.
Just, like, really intense FOMO.
Just, I felt like I was just missing out on literally every single thing in life, just in those, like, months. And so, you know, what's interesting is, like, I wish I didn't ever get the disease, but I can honestly say that I've learned more about myself than I ever would have, and I'm talking about I ever would have, if I didn't get this disease. Just kind of like what is really important in life, you know, just kind of like, I would say in all honesty, like, you know, getting this disease and the fact that like I'm so determined and I want to just get better. I feel like if I can achieve that goal of just getting completely in remission, I can do anything
you put your mind
to. I put my mind to. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, like, going through this and just fully understanding what, like, just the fact that people have other disabilities and the fact that, like, other people just are dealing with extreme things in their own lives, it just broadens my perspective of just the fact that everyone is different and everyone is going through their own internal battle. And I honestly, like, really want to commit my life to just, like, helping people now. I just really want to, like, I feel like that is, like, the most fulfilling thing that you can possibly do, like, in life. Like, it's not, like, about making millions and millions of dollars doing something that, you know, yes, is, like, you're content with, but it's just, like, I want to, like, help people. I just want to help people, like, in this way. Like, I've been, the cool thing is that going through this disease, people know that I have this disease, and I've been connected with other people that have Lyme disease who are struggling, you know, with this disease, and that have been, like, have, you know, been diagnosed for years, have been, like, recently diagnosed, and I've been, like, just emailing them and just, like, making sure that they're okay and, like, telling them, like, what I'm doing. And it's just, like, a consistent thing where I just want to, like, I want to help people that are going through the same thing that I'm going through. I want to help people that, even if they're not going through the same thing, that I can, like, I can at least, like, talk to them and understand, you know, what they're going through with, like, with a disability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's interesting is, like, I want to have that be, like, I want to do that for, like, the rest of my life. And the thing is, I feel like I could do, even though, you know, one of my great loves is, like, design. And I feel like I can, like, use design to, like, help people. I really do.
Definitely.
And just, like, whether that be, like, in the online space or whether that, you know, be somewhere else. I feel that, like, I can use, like, what I'm talented in to, like, truly help people, like, battle disease. Maybe in a way to, like, raise more awareness or something like that for,
dude,
certain things. But
I'm buzzing right now, like, with that, because I've seen, like, infographics, like, very artistically pleasing infographics about different facets of life that have really taught me things that I wasn't able to learn just from reading words or from hearing it through, like, a boring lecture or something like that. Like, one of the things that I was really able to understand on a deeper level through in an infographic was meditation. Like, I had meditation seemed like this very foreign concept to me that I was never able to reach, and it was only for these, like, Tibetan monks to, like, they'd just sit in under a waterfall in the rainforest and meditate. And there was just this infographic on Reddit that I saw that was just this very, it was simple, but it was effective. And I think when I look at your artwork, like, I see that, like, that simplicity, but that ability to project this idea very concretely while keeping it simple. And, like, and this meditation infographic just went through these simple steps of, like, showing me, like, how I can do it and how I can make it a part of my life. And it completely changed my life. Like, I meditate almost every single day now. And that's not the only one. There have been ones for depression, like what depression feels like and what you can do on a day-to-day basis to get out of that funk. And that's not necessarily something that I think, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you could bring that into a career format, but just something you could do in your spare time if you want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like structuring out what Lyme disease is and how you can go about naturally doing it, what it's like if you want to do it medically through antibiotics. But I think that's beautiful, dude. I think that's really cool that you went through something in your life that had you go through, like, a paradigm shift where you were kind of focused on the self, focused on, like, the how can I leave my legacy on this world? How can I build my life up into a way that I am something great? I am some sort of great being for doing what I've done and completed what I've done. And then all of a sudden here comes this thing that makes you feel like you can't do those things anymore. Like, you can't create a great life, a great legacy, a point to where you kind of lose that sense of feeling like you can do it, and all of a sudden all you're worried about is getting better. And then once you realize that's possible, you kind of understand that other people go through this too, and now you want to help them. Like, that's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you for kind of coming to that realization, and not a lot of people do. And it's something I struggle with on a daily basis. Like, I go back and forth from thinking, like, oh man, how am I gonna build myself up in this society to where I'm supporting myself, and I have the respect of my peers, and I have the respect of the people that I care about. Like, I want people to look at Dylan and say, wow, that guy, like, he worked hard and he made it. Like, he has nice shit, and he has a very healthy life and a healthy lifestyle, and he travels and stuff like that. And then, and I'm wondering, like, why, like, how, I don't know. It's just, you kind of start to question whether that's going to make you happy or not. And then you get to starting to help other people and realizing, like, fuck, like, that brings me so much more joy than anything I've ever experienced. And,
yeah.
And I'm really hoping that you're able to find that. And I think you will. I have no doubt that in your life, like, you'll be able to find the outlet, to use the skills that you have and to dive into the areas of life that you love in order to bring about a better, life for other people and build others around you.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, that's interesting that you say that. It's like, I don't think, it's like, people want to live their, or, excuse me, people want to kind of, like, leave a legacy of, you know, kind of, like, greatness or, like, whatever it is. But, you know, it's funny on how, like, if you ask someone that, like, no one has any idea, like, truly, like, what that means, you know what I mean? That is, like, a, like, that whole sense of, like, leaving a legacy, like, that's so, it's just, it's almost irrelevant to, like, truly think about, you know what I mean? And I think one of the things that I especially struggle with the most, I think that the number one thing that I struggle with going through this disease is that my mind was in the what if. My mind was consistently in the stage of what if.
Your, you know, future tripping.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking about just my future, like, I can't leave my legacy. Like, what is my legacy? Or, like, you know, what if I can't do this? What if I can't do that? You know, what if this is, like, how I am for the rest of my life? And I was so far in the future that I forgot to, like, just think about, like, what's happening now. And I think that that's something that, like, a lot of people, even, you know, even before I had this disease, I would do that all the time. I'd be like, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get my BFA in graphic design, I'm going to, you know, graduate and get, you know, a sick-ass job at, like, a design firm and make, you know, a ton of money, and then, like, live in SF. And then, like, that was, like, my 10-year plan. And then after that 10 years, I would, like, probably do something else. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's, like, the thing is that's funny is, like, that's, like, most people. I feel like a lot of people in college have that plan, the same plan. It's, like, be in college, make a lot of friends, get your degree, land a sick-ass job, and then, you know, they're constantly thinking in the future, and whether they're, and like, even though they are, yes, focusing on, like, what's happening in that day, what's happening here, and you know, in there, it's just, like, that future, like, achievements that they want to achieve are, is just consistently in their head, but then something happens, maybe it happens sooner, maybe it happens later on in life, where suddenly something happens and those little dreams that you had or those, you know, those achievements that you wanted to achieve can't be achieved anymore. And then people come to a realization, they say, okay, well, what's going on now? You know, like, how do I get past this? And I think that's the moment, I think, in people's lives where they learn the most. Just about, like, what's important, what they really want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing that I've learned is, like, you know, you were talking about passion, is just to follow your passions. I think following your passion and what you're truly passionate about will lead you in the right direction, no matter what you want your legacy to be. And if you follow your passion, you will, one, be really happy, two, you will inspire others because you're just doing what you love. And I think the last one is that, you know, following your passion, you learn a whole lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn about, like, what's important. You learn about, you know, who other people are, kind of like, you know, why life is worth living. And you know, it, I think when someone says passion, it's really interesting on how, like, sometimes that, you know, if someone told me to follow my passion, I would just, you know, before I had this disease, I would just tell them, oh, I want to do design work. What does that even mean? You know, like, what is, like, is just sitting down and doing design? Like, what is doing design work even mean? Like, how is that, like, yes, I like to do design, but, like, why is that passionate to me? You know, like, what's the significance of that? And going through this, you know, like I was saying before, then, like, wanting to just completely help people now, like, that's what you were saying. It's, like, that's where I get, like, the most joy. That's, like, when I, even though I'm sending those emails to people that have Lyme disease and I'm, like, telling them what I'm doing, it's, like, they're hard emails to send because they, you know, they email me back and they say, I'm at the end of it all. You know, I'm like, you know, it's hard to respond sometimes to these emails.
Sometimes you're like, I'm ready to give up.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, and the thing is, like, I know what they're going through. I deeply know what they're going through, but at the same time, it's like, we're separated by a computer screen and we're separated by, like, time and space. And, like, it's just, you know, I want to help them as much as possible, and there's so many people that, like, need to be helped, but at the same time, like, that's as hard as, like, these emails sometimes are to send, or just, like, you know, talking to people about, you know, any type of, you know, disease or disability they have, or just anything that's, like, really, like, pressuring them. Mm-hmm. It could be, like, a death in the family, or it could be just anything. It's hard to talk about, but at the same time, like, that's where I feel the most, like, fulfillment, and mm-hmm. that's where I feel, like, true joy, and that is where my passion is. And I'd say, like, yes, design is something I'm good at, maybe something to help me achieve, like, helping people, but, like, my passion, my deep, deep passion is truly, like, helping people be happy and helping people just, like, overcoming these, like, diseases that they have in just, like, every sense of the way. And I think that can honestly come from just, like, community, that can come from just talking, that can come from just, like, just being there for someone. God, if you were to call someone that you, like, if you were to call someone today who you haven't really talked to in a long time and just tell them, like, how much you just appreciate them as a friend, I'm sure that would, like, not only build your relationship with just that person, but that would just make their self-esteem and just, like, the love between, like, you and that friend, like, just, it would skyrocket. And I think that's, like, just the sense of just community is, like, something that I want to provide for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so I say, you know, I say just don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what's going on, like, 10 years from now. Worry about what's happening right now. And the thing is, like, you will find your place and you will find, like, what's right for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, like, definitely something that I've learned, like, going through this. And it's, it's been, like, you know, it's been a lot. But I'm at, like, a really good point. I'm, like, really getting a lot better, so I'm ready to, like, take it to the next step and kind of, like, you know, kind of, like, really pursue my passion of just, like, reaching out to people that have, like, specifically, you know, I guess for me, reaching out to more and more people that are going through this disease. And I would love, honestly, one thing I would love to do is start a college group, because that's something that I couldn't find anywhere. Like, some type of college.
In your loneliness, you felt like you didn't have anyone.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, even though there are people that have gone through it, there's, like, a lot of times they're older, or a lot of times, like, it's just, like, they've gone through it and stuff like that, or maybe they're still going through it, but they're just, like, they're just older, and you just can't really, like, even though they're wise and they have that wisdom, it's just, like, sometimes you just want to, like, you just want to, like, have that, like, that person in your age group that just, like, you're just, like, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to sit with them and be like, dude, this is awful.
And, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's like, as depressing as that sounds, it's just like, that's what helps. That's like, just
misery loves company.
Man. Exactly. And it's just like, I would love to, like, start a, I don't know, just like a college group, just like, you know, with college students, just like all over the United States, just like of college people that are like going through this. And so that way, like, it's just more, you know, it's just more, like, relatable, I'd mm-hmm. say.
Dude, definitely. I mean, when I am going through, like, episodes of depression, which thankfully don't happen as much anymore, I'll go through those intense periods of loneliness and feeling like I can't connect to anyone around me. Like, mm-hmm. like everyone is living this life of being able to do the things they want to do because they're not inhibited by this, you know, mental disease. And what gave me solace is going on like Reddit and going on these forums and seeing these other people that are going through the same thing. But it's a little harder when it's separated through a computer screen, when it's separated through that sense of time and space, and that they're not saying that in the moment, but that is something that they had already written, and I have to come to this sort of catalog of information. But at the same time, like just how you were reading a lot of books online was used to get yourself more acquainted with it and to give yourself that knowledge, like that knowledge is power, and understanding that other people are going through the same thing and learning about how to get better. Like I am so thankful for my depression. And I'd say the two hardest things I've ever gone through in my life are depression and addiction, my addiction to pornography and learning how to overcome that on a daily basis has given me the discipline that I could never have imagined of getting just on my own, or of understanding that other people are going through a struggle that I am familiar with makes me think less about myself on a day-to-day basis and figure out, like, what am I putting my life towards? You know, you were one of the first people and have been one of the only people to honestly to really encourage my writing and to really tell me, like, Dylan, like, you need to be a writer. Like, you are a writer. And, like, hearing that, honestly, like, I've taken that with me on a day-to-day basis, and, like, that's really changed my life. And for the longest time, I had this very egotistical approach to it, like, oh, you know what? I am a writer. I'm going to be a great writer. Well, what does that mean? Like, what does being a great writer mean? What am I going to write a Game of Thrones like series and become world famous and make millions of dollars and have HBO TV shows made about my book? Like, or like, what do I want? Like, what do I really care about? What am I passionate about? Like, why, what am I going to write about that is actually going to make a difference in my life and in others? You know, maybe I am a good story writer, maybe I would be if I practiced it, but what is something I care about right now? And what I really care about is how I went through very severe depression because of my porn addiction, because of my needing to escape life on a day-to-day basis, because I was scared. I was scared of getting out of bed because I had things I needed to do and I wasn't sure of how I was going to do them. I wasn't sure about how, where my life was going or how I was going to apply myself. And so I really escaped into this format of life. And just going through that taught me that this is a painful place to be and definitely that other people go through it. And now something I'm working on is writing a book, helping people get out of their porn addiction and really going through step by step, and like it's sort of going to be like a workbook, like how can I contribute to others' ability to get this thing out of their life that they want, that they really want to get out of their life, and or just talking about how to keep your mental health up on a day-to-day basis if you're struggling with depression. Like, you know, I journal every single day. I meditate. I exercise not necessarily so that I can look buffer and be sexier, but I exercise because my mentality is so much better on the days that I do work out.
Yeah.
I exercise because it really changes my brain chemistry in a way that makes me feel more alive and happier and more full. I eat much better because of it. And I think you and I have that in common where we have gone through hardships in our life that we didn't expect, and they sort of took away this aspect of like, I can do anything I want. And you're like, oh, wow, I don't know if I can because of this thing.
Yeah.
Like, my porn addiction made me feel like I would never be able to do these creative projects that I wanted to do, because every time I would get on my computer, I couldn't write or I couldn't work on photos because I would immediately go to this thing and it would take these precious hours out of my life from doing the things I wanted to do. Or for you, like, wanting to be able to just go about your day and work on your graphic design was something that wasn't available all of a sudden because you had this debilitating disease. And for me to transition from that me, this I'm going to be a great writer, I'm going to do things that are going to give me prestige and give me loyalty and give me respect from my peers and give me money and give me a happy life, to all of a sudden, like, how am I going to help people? How am I going to use my skill in order to change the lives of others and help them overcome something that I struggled with? And it also led me to wanting to be a teacher and wanting to help people understand communication on a level that's going to improve their lives on a daily basis. And so I'd say, like, I'm thankful for those. You know, I'm thankful for those things I've gone through and still go through. And as much as, like you, I feel like I've missed out on a lot because of it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. I think that's awesome, Dylan. Like, I think, you know, we can really relate on the fact that, you know, we're going through these individual battles. I think the coolest thing is that it's kind of a sense of, like, perspective, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, everyone looks a certain way on the outside, but on the inside, they're going through their own, like, individual battle, you know? And you know, like you said, it's like, you know, these things come into your life, and I think, you know, one thing I've realized is that I don't think enough people, like, really realize, especially... especially if they haven't, like, encountered a lot of adversity. You know, I feel like there's kind of a beauty to not knowing, you know. A lot of times, like, not knowing is kind of, like, a scary thing. But one thing, you know, I've realized, like, going through this, there's a beauty of not knowing. And just that, like, simple switch of thinking about that. Like, the beauty of not knowing, it's... That can lead people to just achieve, like, honestly, greatness no matter, like, what circumstance that they're in. You know, I think you and me both, we've both gone through these hardships, these literally, like, terrible, you know, times of adversity. And, you know, we have that switch comes on in our mind and we're, you know, we're just like, I don't know why I have this. I don't know if I'll be able to achieve the things. I don't know. You know, that I don't know keeps on going on in your mind. The what if, the future tense. I think it's kind of like all related. But just kind of like you said, taking action about like what's going on, being proactive and taking a step back. You know, there's a beauty not to know. There's a beauty that comes from just like, you don't know why all this is going on, but you know what? You're going to take charge and you're going to discover something like, beautiful about yourself. You're going to discover, you know, who you really are. You're going to journey into the depths of the self and you're going to find out like what makes you truly happy. What is your calling? What is your passion? And you're just going to discover it and it's going to make you a better person like all around. And, you know, I think you nailed it, Dylan. It's just like, I, you know, going through this thing, it's just like, It teaches you more about yourself, and then in that way, you can apply that to just helping others that are going through something similar. And the fact that you're writing a book about, like, what you went through and about just helping others, so literally helping people to sell this book that I'm sure a ton of guys would buy. I mean, gosh, it's a huge issue nowadays. And just, like, pornography in general. And I think, like, the fact that you're just being proactive and just, like, you're writing this book is just... That's going to help probably like millions and millions of people. And, but in the same way is that you're taking everything that you've learned about yourself and putting it all into this book that you're writing. And that only came from those hardships and that terrible adversity that you had to go through. So, you know, it's kind of crazy on how life kind of works like that. You know what I mean? I think as a society, we're definitely like, you know, living in Silicon Valley, I think everything's like go, 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 never stop. And then like people don't have the time to, even, you know, even maybe when hardships do arise, people don't really take the time to step back and say like, wow, like what am I really doing? You know, what am I passionate for? Like, you know, why should I really care about this person? Why should I really care about that person? And a lot of times people get so caught up in just like the fast life and they don't really take into account the fact that, you know, what they're doing is like, they don't take into account what their full potential as a being and as a person and their character like really is and or the impact it can have on others. And I think it's important for everybody to just kind of even, you know, gosh, you don't even have to meet adversity. You can just take into account, just think about it for like a couple hours. And just like that simple, like switch of like thinking about it and like really just like, what are your gifts? Like, how can you use them to like truly benefit other people? I think that is like, honestly, the most fulfilling thing that you can possibly do in life. And that you know, you going through everything that you've gone through, me going through everything that I've gone through, like that's a perfect example of that. You know, that's a perfect example of taking, like, just a terrible circumstance and making the best out of it, and just like wanting to truly benefit other people, like whether that come from like making money or not. And I think that, you know, what you're doing is definitely a beautiful thing, Dylan.
Rylan, thank you for coming today, man. That was awesome. And I really enjoyed talking with you, and that was cool.
Awesome, yeah. Thank you. I agree, man. Yeah, I agree.
That was awesome. I learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to seeing where you go with everything and how you continue this up, and we got to check back in sometime later, man.
Definitely. I'm writing a blog about everything I'm doing right now, so it'll probably be up in like December.
Cool.
On medium.com. I'll be sharing that.
Awesome.
Around the
I'll share it on the comment section.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure that whoever listens to this can get a hold of it.
Definitely. It'll be on December. I think you know, I want to definitely bring a blog kind of from like a college younger space to kind of like help people that are also going through Lyme disease. So
cool.
That's what I want to do. So I'll look forward to sharing that with you.
Awesome, man. Well, that was about 56 minutes.
Dope. Perfect.